Good evening, everybody. So great to see you here. If we haven't met before, my name's Pete. I'm one of the clergy team here. And as we dive into 1 Corinthians, let me pray for our time. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the God of heaven and earth, and that you do speak to us. Please help us to accept the message that we're going to hear tonight from your words. Please help us to trust what you say, that we may be shaped by you and not by the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, how easy do you find it to tell people that you're a Christian? I wonder, how easy do you find it? You see, in theory, being a Christian, it's like the best thing in our lives, right? The fact that we follow a savior, someone who's given us eternal life, has meaning and purpose, like we were just hearing about that video. But I don't know about you, but sometimes as I meet new people or I get chatting to others, it can be quite awkward. It feels a bit weird to bring it up. I'm fearful sometimes even of what people might think of me. I wonder if you have the same kind of scenarios, maybe at school or at work or with extended members of your family or something. And actually, I think that sort of makes sense in the culture and in the world that we live in. Right? Christianity is declining at a seriously quick rate in this country. Atheism, hugely on the rise. In TV, radio, social media, there's often a bit of a tone of mockery and joking when it comes to Christianity. You know, generally, big generalization, but generally, our culture thinks it's pretty foolish to be a Christian. A lot of people actually think it's a bit of a waste of time that you're here in church tonight. And living in a culture like this, right, can change you. And a bit like this statue here, Nick's been showing us this, you know, the drip, drip, drip of some rain. Like, it would change this statue. Do you know what? The drip, drip, drip of our culture, thinking that Christianity is pretty foolish. Do you know what? That can change you and me. And it seems from our passage today that was happening in Corinth. Okay, Corinth, real place. This was a real letter written to real Christians about 2,000 years ago. And Corinth, it was an impressive city. Okay, rich, intellectual, a metropolis of ideas and wealth. And into all of that, Christianity looked a bit foolish, not impressive at all. In Corinth, the kind of the drip, drip, drip of the culture around the church in Corinth, it looks like it was starting to affect them. They were starting to listen really loudly to the culture around them. And so Paul writes his letter. He gets writing away. And we're continuing this week in our series. Because he doesn't want them to be deformed like this. Rather, Paul wants the Corinthian Christians to be reshaped by God, to be reshaped by what is really true, what is really going on in our world. And it's the same for you and me. God tonight doesn't want us to be drip, 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 reshaped, deformed. He wants us to be the people that we should be with what is true and what is good in our world. And so what does God say to us when we're living in a culture that thinks we are fools? What is God going to say to us? Well, here are three things he's going to say. He's going to say that we've got a foolish-looking message, but a powerful cross. He's going to say that we are foolish-looking people, but there's a powerful cross. And that there's a foolish-sounding messengers, but a powerful cross. So let's dive in together. First one, foolish-looking message, but a powerful cross. And the main point of our evening, right, if you don't go away with anything else this evening, Nick's already read it to us, but verse 18 is the key verse for you and I tonight. Let's read it again. If you've got your Bible open, then look at it with me again on page 1144. Paul says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The simple idea is this, that yes, being a Christian does look foolish. The world around us, it thinks the message of the cross is bonkers. And that is normal. It's what we should expect. It's not a surprise, which I think is counter to what we think. We think, oh no, people think we're foolish. People shouldn't think we're foolish. Paul says it's exactly what we should expect. And actually, on the face of it, I think it kind of makes sense, right? The idea that as Christians, we follow and we worship and we've been singing tonight about a saviour who was executed as a criminal. I mean, it is a bit weird, right? I think you and I are so familiar sometimes with Christian things, we forget that it is a bit strange. But back in the early days of the church, people thought it was bonkers. All sorts of people thought it was pretty laughable. I mean, look down at verses 22 and 23. It says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. They're kind of the two big categories of people, Jews and Greeks. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. This idea of the cross, it didn't make sense to either of these two categories of people in the world. To the Jews, it looked really silly. They were expecting a kind of a victorious, kind of mighty warrior sort of saviour. And to the Gentile world, well, into all of their intellect and their wisdom, again, really foolish. And this is kind of backed up, right, by history. And this is some graffiti from Rome from the 2nd century. Right, here's some graffiti that was written on a wall. And it's basically a guy worshipping a donkey-headed man on a cross. And the donkey-headed man is meant to be Jesus. And the inscription in the Greek reads like this. It says, Alexamenos worships his God. And the idea is Alexamenos is a bit of an idiot. You can imagine maybe he was a school child. And this graffiti is his mates doing it on the back of the toilet door or something. And you can imagine Alexamenos and his mates are sort of saying to him, look, you're an idiot for following Jesus. It's like you're worshipping some donkey-headed man. To be following someone who was executed on a cross, stupid. But actually, our world thinks pretty similar things today. You know, being a Christian or even believing in God at all, it's pretty counter to what people think. Check out this quote from Peter Atkins. He's an Oxford professor in chemistry. He says, it is not possible to be intellectually honest and believe in gods. And it is not possible to believe in gods and be a true scientist. Essentially, you're an idiot. You're a fool if you think there's a God, let alone if you think your God was killed as a criminal for you. Yet this is the kind of cultural soup that you and I are swimming in every day. That Christianity is foolish. You know, when you're at school, or when you're at work, or sometimes with your family, do you know it's going to be normal that people think you are a fool? Do you know it shouldn't surprise you whatsoever when people look down on you for being a Christian? And don't worry, there's good news. There is good news, don't worry. It's a fooling-looking message, but actually a powerful cross. Verse 18 again says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We all know that sometimes appearances can be deceiving. Take this painting, for example, right? If I'm honest, if I saw this in a charity shop, I wouldn't have given it a second glance. And I quite like a good charity shop bargain. I've got a keen eye for these things. Check out these trousers. But you know what? I would not have given this a second look. And I would have called anyone a fool who would have paid £400 for this painting. But lo and behold, the guy on the next slide did pay £400. But appearances can be deceiving. You see, the guy on the left here, he bought it for £400. He took it down to the Antiques Roadshow, and a few years ago, it was valued at over £400,000. Looks can be deceiving. And it's similar with the cross, right? It's going to appear foolish to some. But the message of the cross actually is where the power is in our world and in our lives. Do you know what? The cross, as we've been singing, as we've been celebrating and praying tonight, it's able to save you and I. Save us from perishing and to give us eternal life, never-ending life. I used to work as a nurse. There's nothing that can really raise people from the dead. It doesn't happen. Do you know what? The cross? It can. Jesus' death on the cross can mean life for you and for me. And it can move us from facing God's right judgment. Did you see that in verse 18? From the perishing to being saved. Life forever. It may seem foolish, but Corinth, Crowborough, if you want something truly powerful, then don't judge by appearances. The cross is really, really powerful. The message looks foolish, but we've got a powerful cross. But that's not the only thing that can look foolish as Christians, right? Secondly, there can be foolish people, but a powerful cross. What Paul says in the next few verses, I'll be honest, could be seen as a bit rude, right? If I was a Corinthian, I think I might be a bit offended. But look down with me and read from verse 26. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth." Paul is saying to them, look, guys, you're worried about looking weak. You want to look impressive and not foolish. But hold up. Even when you became Christians, not many of you were that impressive anyway. The world around us, you see, the world around us likes to rank people, right? In terms of like their status and whether they earn lots of money or whether they've got lots of letters after their name. And if you've got lots of that kind of stuff, you're up here. And if you haven't got much, well, you're down here and you're pretty useless. And Paul says, actually, do you know what? You guys were down here. He's almost being a bit rude to them. But Paul says, look, don't worry about what the world thinks. Because God, he doesn't work on a scale like this. And because if he did, then none of you would have been in. But as it is, you guys were all down here, and yet God chose you anyway. Or at least lots of them were down there, but God chose you anyway. Look in verses 27 and 28, and how many times the word chose comes up. Say verse 27, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are." Being in God's family, getting to heaven, it's not based on a kind of a scale of how impressive you are in this world. It's purely based on God's choice. You see, in reality, like in God's economy, we're all on a level down here at the bottom somewhere. We're all right down here. Before him, we've got nothing. See, verse 30 tells us how you and I are able to be in God's family. Verse 30, "It is because of him," that's God, "that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption." You see, the only way that you and I can make it up to God from right down here, the only way that we can make it up there is the cross. See, only Jesus' death at the cross can make us, see, in the words, those words at the end of verse 30, can make us righteous, can give us righteousness. That's being right with God. Only Jesus at the cross can make us holy, perfect before God. Only Jesus at the cross can give us redemption, can redeem us, can pay the price to give us eternal life. See, none of these things, intellect, wisdom, power, riches, they can't get you into heaven. Only Jesus and the cross can get us from rock bottom back up to God. See, you and I might be foolish in the world's eyes. We might be right down here. Do you know what? That doesn't matter at all. God doesn't judge like our world judges. Which is a beautiful thing, right? Look around the room. Look around the room and see the different types of people that are here. You know, some of us, yeah, sure, maybe some of us do have a whole load of bunch of letters after our name. Maybe some of us have become quite rich. But maybe lots of us haven't. Maybe we're really struggling with money. Maybe we don't have that kind of cool, impressive job or a big house. Do you know what? That doesn't matter at all. Whether you're at the top, whether you're at the bottom, the only way you can be in God's family is because of Jesus Christ. You might well be foolish in the eyes of the world, down the bottom of their list. Who cares? God certainly doesn't. And I know it'll be hard to believe that tomorrow morning, right? Tomorrow morning, we're going to want to have the impressive job. We're going to want to look really trendy on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. We're going to want to look impressive, not foolish, in the world's eyes. But don't worry, you don't need to. If you are someone who believes in Jesus Christ here this evening, you are righteous, holy, and redeemed. You have the thing that nothing in this world can bring you. You have a relationship with the Lord God. See, look, the message can look foolish. You can even look foolish. But we have a powerful cross. So, a foolish-looking message, a foolish-looking people. Finally, there are foolish-sounding messengers, but a powerful cross. In this final section, Paul turns to himself, right? Having been a bit borderline rude about the Corinthians, he's now happy to be slightly honest and, to be fair, almost rude about himself and his own weaknesses, particularly as a messenger and as a teacher. Spot how kind of rude he is about himself, okay, from chapter 2. Look from verse 1. "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. Now, verse 3, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. Verse 4, my message and my preaching, well, they were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." Paul's going out of his way to show how he's a bit rubbish when he came to them as a gospel preacher. Which is quite unusual. People don't talk about themselves like that. People don't introduce others like that. You imagine you're at an event and the host says, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we've got a not particularly good speaker. They're not very clever. They're not very articulate. They're certainly not wise. And I saw them backstage and they are petrified to talk to you. But, you know, give a big hand for Paul. It just wouldn't be what happens, is it? But that's what Paul's doing here. He's saying, do you know what? I was a rubbish messenger. I was a bit average. But it's not a problem for him. In fact, actually, he's doing it deliberately. He doesn't want anything to detract from the message that he brings. He doesn't want them to be in any doubt as to where the power is. Look at verse 2. This is where he wants them to focus in on, not on him. Verse 2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." He wants them to focus on Jesus and his death on the cross, So that, verse 5, that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Paul knows that he might look a bit rubbish on the outside. He's not eloquent or wise. But he knows that as he preaches and speaks about Christ, oh, he's got the power. A number of years ago, I was watching a Top Gear episode, right? This car TV program. And they raced these two vehicles, right? The one on the left is an Australian Holden Maloo. It's a very exciting car. You can see it's racy with its stripes and its fancy wheels. And they raced it against the one on the right, a transit van. I think from about 1999 or something. You know, on the outside, what does it? Who looks more powerful? Well, clearly the red sports car. But as soon as they left the start line in this race, it was clear who was going to win. The transit absolutely smokes the sporty red car. And it's because you've got to know where the power is. In the transit van, the mechanics have swapped out the normal engine, the normal diesel, for a 3.5 litre, 542 V6 Jaguar engine. And you know, it's the power that brings the transit across the line. It's not the exterior. It's not what it looks like that matters. And so similarly with the message of the gospel. It's not the outside, it's not the messengers that need to look exciting and eloquent and wise. It's what they talk about that matters. Paul says he wants to talk about nothing else but Jesus. That's where the power in the Christian life is. You can't get to eternal life just because someone is wise and eloquent. Paul knows this. He knows that he has no power in and of himself. And particularly in Corinth, this seemed like it was something Paul really needed to point out. As we heard last week, the congregation in Corinth was starting to get behind different leaders and say, like, oh, no, I follow Paul over here because he's really impressive. Oh, no, I follow Apollos because he's even better. And Paul says, look, do you know what? It's not the messengers that matter. It's the message. Focus in on the message, on Jesus and his power at the cross. Now, for us, I'm not sure that we've kind of got the same sort of division. I follow Steve. I follow Nick. I follow Pete. Not that any of us would follow any one of us three. It doesn't matter how trendy or impressive your church or your preachers or your events appear. It's mostly about what the content is that really matters. I wonder if we really believe that. You know, maybe as we kind of talk about church to our friends or as we're kind of welcoming people into the building. Is it the kind of the cool lights in the ceiling that make the difference? Not that we don't have, like, it's nice to have cool lights. But what do we rely on? Is it the message of the gospel? Is that what we believe is really going to transform people? And here's a test, right? If you were to move away from Crowborough, lots of us will at some point. What are you going to look for in a church as you move from here? Are you going to look for eloquent speakers? For a super worship band? Will you assess a church on what it looks like or on what it talks about? The power isn't in any of those external things. It's in the power, it's in the message of Jesus Christ on the cross. So the foolish-looking message, the foolish people, and the foolish-sounding messengers. But a powerful cross. To come back finally to where we started. How do you feel about telling people you're a Christian? Do you worry that you might look like a fool? Well, do you know what? That's totally normal. The world around us assesses things in ways that, you know, don't really matter. What does really matter is the cross. So we can look foolish. We can look like we've got a foolish message, and we can be in churches that don't look trendy to the outside world. But if we've got the cross, we've got the thing that will save us to eternal life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the cross. That at the cross, we can be friends with you. We can be made righteous. We can be made holy. We can be given the gift of eternal life. Father, help us believe that the cross is the best and most powerful thing, even when to our outside world it looks deeply foolish. Help us to trust that, to be formed and shaped by the message of the cross and not by what our world thinks is impressive. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.